We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. And I want to remind all of you of Pastor Rodney's daily devotional. It is so powerful. We are excited one day to have it in print. Amen. I like the pages. I like looking at a book and feeling and touching the pages, but you can go right onto the website, right onto Facebook and pull it up. It's easy to read and it's a boost right in the beginning of your day, middle of your day, end of your day. Thank you, Pastor Rodney, for putting that together. But I want to remind us, it's just so easy to read, you know, and it's such a blessing. It gets us right on our course of the day. And so I want to remind you, our book table's over there. If you are interested, just let us know. You can see what we have there. We have mini books, regular books, study guides, things like that. And so check it out. Sundays, doors open at 9 with pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10 o'clock. And so come early for coffee, for fellowship. And someone brought some delicious snacks for afterwards and so, or before. So please feel free to go over there and enjoy. And we thank you for that as well. And also for Friday prayer, it's at our house from 9 to 10. And again, that's 9 to 10 at our house. We end right on time. We begin right on time. We end right on time. And so that's a blessing to have that. You know, everything begins in prayer. And so that's why we have our pre-service prayer. We're praying for all of you. We're praying for this service and how the Holy Spirit wants this service to go today. We're praying for freedom in our lives and for what He has for us individually and corporately as a church family and the community on Fridays. We're praying for that as well. And I'm just continuing to thank the Lord that this whole outside shopping center is painted and looking beautiful and bright. That's just been on my heart. You know, the church moved in here. So the blessing moved in here. Praise God. And so glory to God, however He wants to do that, right? But it's something that's been on my heart. And so I'm calling this place. We are painted beautifully, bright, looking good. And so it's a reflection of Him. Amen. We're all a reflection of Him. Us coming here is a reflection of Him. So people are going to see that. For volunteers, we currently have openings, children ministry. We're looking at that, if that's on your heart. Video production, our worship team. And if you have a heart to lead prayer or discipleship for a class, come talk to us. And you know, we want to visit with you and decide what you're wanting to do and hear from you. And we have those opportunities. There will be no Wednesday service this week. We are still getting things up and running in this place. And so I'm currently working on the media and those things. And so we just wanted to let you know, but it will be coming soon, back to Wednesday nights. We miss you all on Wednesday nights. And so we're so thankful we have Rhonda with us. She's been a faithful Wednesday nighter. And so we haven't seen her since we haven't had that. And so we're looking forward to coming back together on that as well. And Pastor, did you have something on the chairs or today?
Hey, man. So I think most of us were here last week, but in case you weren't or watching, we have picked out chairs. They are called Ovation, is the name of the chair itself from Chairs. There's a place in Texas that we're going to be getting these from, and had more communication with them this week. And the size of the trailer that we're going to be using, they say they could put 40 chairs in that trailer. So again, I'm going to drive to Texas. So that's going to be our seat. We're going to use my truck and miles and gas, and we'll take care of that to go pick them up and bring them back. But we're going to get 40 chairs. They're $87 a piece. And I think the total for that was $3,480. And so, again, I just want to encourage us, though, those here or those watching, whenever, wherever you are, you know, sew a chair, you know, $87. Believe God. So, again, this is with everything, with every faith project. And again, the Lord gave me direction to present it to us this way, because there's going to be many, many other faith projects that we're going to have corporately, but there's things that you have in your life, you know, and I came from Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain International Church. And Brother Copeland told a story years ago, and I heard him tell it multiple times. And he was mentioning back in the 70s, the Lord told him to sow $50,000. Now think about it. This is about 1975. $50,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of money. You know, but he told him to sow $50,000, and he didn't have but, you know, $20 to his name, right? So it's like, Lord, I cannot do this, but in you, I can do all things. And so he said, so that word from the Lord, he stood on that word from God, said, God, if you called me to do it, then you're going to bring the money to me so you can get it through me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So again, God told him what to believe for. And when he got into agreement with the word of God produced the fruit of that. He heard from God. He stood on the word that he heard, and God brought the increase. Now, it did not come 50,000 all in one whack. It came 20 here, 100 there. And so what he said he would do, he would come home at the end of the night. He would take all of his, because then everyone used cash or check, and you know, a lot of cash. So he said he would always take all the change from the day. He would put it in a jar. He said anytime any little extra would come into the household, he would take that extra, whatever that was, and put it in this jar. And every so often, he would take it, whatever it was, put it all in an envelope, send it over to Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And, you know, and this went on for a little period of time. And then finally, he said, I called up to the ministry one day and said, how much have we put towards that 50,000? They said, oh, you've exceeded it. You've exceeded it. He said, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
How did that happen? He said, one way or another, either, he, you know, and he personally believes that somehow some more came into that account beyond his hands. But whatever that might be. But again, God's not necessarily asking us to believe for where we're at. You know, if God puts on your heart, we need to sow two chairs, you know, one for me and one for somebody else, or three chairs or 10 chairs or whatever that might be. Get that from God. Hear from him. What would you have me do? And now hook up with that. So again, maybe you only have a dollar today. So sow the dollar you have. And God, I'm believing that you're going to bring the rest of it. I'm believing you're going to bring the rest of the two chairs or the three chairs to me. Again, he's not asking you to pay for anything. God always, again, faith is the currency of the kingdom. Your money's not necessarily buying something from God, right? God uses money to get things done because in this earth, it takes money to get things done. That's just, we all understand that. You know, but faith is the currency that will bring the 50,000, that will bring the 87, that will bring the $3,480. Faith is what's going to make that exchange. So it's not, you know, you having to get a second job, you know, to try to make ends meet or try to fulfill an obligation. No, go to him in faith and get the wisdom of God, get the word from God, and he will enable you to prosper, and he will cause the increase to come over to your hands. In the kingdom of God, and we've talked about this in times past, it's always about a flow. It's always about a flow. What we are always endeavoring to do is live in a flow. The word talks about this, and I don't know where you're going in the offering today, but Malachi 3:10, he talks about the blessing of the tither. The blessing of the tither. But he says, what's going to happen? When you are obedient to God, when you're bringing to God what is God's, he says, there's windows, plural, windows of heaven shall be open unto you pouring. That's not a one-time dump. That is a continual pour. So God is about this flow. So the word tells us, you read in Revelation, there is a from the throne of God, there flows a river. Interesting. There is a river flowing. He is that source. We saw this in the wilderness. Moses struck the rock in the wilderness, and out of this rock, Jesus, which that represents, flowed a river in the desert. God is that source. He will cause a flow to run through you, surround you, so that all of your needs are met, so that you have more than enough left over. I think I'm preaching your offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace come to us in abundance so that we might always, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient and, there's that and, possess enough for every good work, which means charitable donation. He says, I'm going to bless you so much. You're going to be blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the blessing's designed to do. Not just you and your house, but so that you and your house are overflowing so much. Yeah, I can be a blessing here. I can be a blessing there. I'm a blessing. That is what it's designed to do. But it's about just getting into that flow wherever you are. So maybe you're in the million flow. Maybe you're in the thousand flow. Maybe you're in the dollar flow. Whatever it is, just get in the flow. And when you're in the flow, God will multiply. Now you're giving him something to work with. Now you've got something to increase. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. I'd say that's the offering message this morning. I'll just save mine for next time as the Lord leads. Praise the Lord. So let's say our offering confessions. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. We are getting our buildings, our land, our houses, all of our resources, all of our chairs. We call this building painted in full. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Did we say angels go get our harvest? Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Amen. We got to put them to work. That's what they're there for. Praise God. So I want to pray over our message. But if you are sowing this morning, if you are giving this morning, there's an offering envelope under the seat, under your seat, under the seat in front of you. If you are giving by cash or card, please fill out that top part. If you are giving by check, it's made out to BLFC, please. If you're giving online, the information is on your screen. And if you have a prayer request or a testimony, please write it on that offering envelope. It's our honor to pray and agree with you for what you're believing for in your life. We pray for you all every day. But if it's something specific, write it down, call us, text us, email us. We're here for you. So we want you to know that. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for each person here, for those watching, for the seed sown, the tithe brought. In the name of Jesus, we declare increase, multiplication, open doors to the things and desires of their heart, of their family's heart, for children's lives being restored, for Father, the blessing overtaking each and every person at Victory Life Family Church. We thank you so much for what you're doing and what you're about to do in the lives of the people. We are expecting your goodness. You are a good God, and you have good plans for each and every one of us. And we thank you for those good plans today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Say the word is working.
The word is working.
Mightily in me, for me, and through me, all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. We live to the praise of his glory. We live to the praise of his glory. Amen. Our lives are to be an expression of the goodness of God. Our lives are to be a demonstration of the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. The word tells us in Colossians 3:17, everything that we do in word or in deed or in action, do all in the name of Jesus. Do everything in his name. When you go to the store, I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm going to live for the praise of his glory in Safeway today. Amen. Do it in faith and watch him show up. I mean to tell you, whatever you do, watch him show up. Watch him show up. Watch him. God is good. Jesus said in John 14, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it, as though I'm personally present. Because wherever the name goes, the embodiment of the person goes, if that makes sense. So again, Jesus, when we look at this, all right, John 14, let's just turn over there right quick. Well, this is going to come together. Amen. John 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We're talking about the glory. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. He didn't say you're going to do anything. He says you're going to ask it. And that's where ask isn't, oh God, please, it's more than that. This comes back to, this is a prayer word. Again, this is not a begging word. This is more of, Father, I see your word has said. I see what Christ has done and the victory that he has won. And so now I'm standing on this truth and speaking to this mountain, speaking to this situation. I'm declaring and decreeing things. And here you are to manifest yourself, the living word. Again, the word is alive. It's active. This is not just this is not a history book. Amen. This is God speaking to you personally, and it's always in the now. Yes, we can see what he's done in the past. Yes, we can see what he's going to do in the present. But he's always, again, God is omnipresent. He is alive, and he lives outside of time. He is occupying every single moment in eternity. That's your daddy. Amen. It does good just to take and meditate on things like this. God is in eternity past just as present as he's here right now in this room today. Amen. So wonderful. So wonderful. He says, but again, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You and I are in the Son. And when we take his word of God, when we take what he says by faith and declare it and decree it and stand on it, and when we go in the name of Jesus expecting, that brings glory to God. When he is able to manifest his word in your life, in your body, in your finances, in your situation, that brings glory to God. What brings glory to God? Honoring his word, seeing his word come to pass, seeing the enemy defeated, seeing sickness and disease defeated. Amen. Seeing poverty defeated. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, I just thought that would bless you this morning, but we're going to get into prayer. Father, I just thank you so much. We thank you for this place, this time, this opportunity to gather together in fellowship with one another, but with you. Lord, we receive that today is a visitation from our Father God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive you are personally present. We receive that promise in Matthew 18:20. You said, Jesus, wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. So, Lord, have your way, have your will. Lord, we yield ourselves. I yield my tongue. Lord, we yield our hearts and minds to hear the word of the Lord. And Lord, whatever you say to us to do, by faith, we lay hold of it. And by faith, we will act upon it. We will speak it. We'll declare it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible, hard copy, soft copy, whatever you have here in the room, online too, hold it up big. This is my Bible, the living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, our text this morning, again, we're still speaking on the subject of faith. Amen. And in particular, the God kind of faith. You know, there's faith, and then there's the God kind of faith. There's the highest level of faith, and I just want to go right for the top. Amen. Praise God. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. So I know in these past few weeks, we were looking at the integrity of God's word. And again, our foundation for that was Hebrews 11:6. Amen. For he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is. You are the one true God. There's none other. You are God. He says, and he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Amen. So we looked at that, but we're going to go on to the next step today. And that is, the title of this message is The Great Kingdom Transfer. Glory to God. Colossians 1:13 says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Can you say, I have been accepted in the beloved? Amen. That's Ephesians 1:6. You have been accepted into the beloved Son of God. Again, Jesus is the head of his body. We are his body. You know, you can't separate a head from its body and still function, still be alive. We're one with him. Galatians 3:27 says, we have been baptized into Christ. We're all one in the Spirit. We're all one. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who has been joined to the Lord has become one spirit with the Lord. In the Spirit, you and I are all partakers of the same Spirit. Every believer, past, present, future, Christ himself, we are all made to drink, he says, of this one cup, and that cup is Christ. All that he is, I am. Not because of what I did, but because what he did for me. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Aha. When we understand, looking at this, when we understand what Christ has done and what the blood has accomplished and purchased for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, we're going to stop living like victims of darkness. There's nothing worse to me when I go out and in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the world. You know, they're lost. You know, they are of the kingdom of darkness. They need Jesus. And so we want to witness to him. We want to win him. Praise God. But to see a believer still accepting the lies of the enemy, still receiving, well, you know, it's sickness and disease, it's cold and flu. And well, you know, we just never know what God's going to do. Like you have no idea, you know, of what the word says, or you have no understanding of the integrity of God's word. If God said it, that will he not do it? Right? So again, faith begins where the will of God is first known. But you've got to believe in the character of God as well, that he's not just big enough. He's not just powerful enough. But oh, he is so overwhelmingly desiring to manifest it to you. So again, faith begins where the will of God is first known. If I don't know that healing belongs to me, I will continue to live in as a victim of sickness and disease every time it rolls around. Well, yeah, it's cold and flu season. You know, Paula, before she worked at Pathways here in town, and you know, she worked at the bank, you know, one of the banks here. You know, and she's interacting with people all day long, and you know, people, you know, coming in and or coworkers or what have you. She was a teller, so she saw lots of people. And so invariably, everyone is going around talking sickness and disease. Well, you know, she got it and they got it and they got it. And, you know, my husband got it and you're next. Ha, ha, ha. No, thank you. That's the kingdom of darkness. That's, I don't belong to that kingdom. I do not accept that. I reject that in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. You are defeated. Tell it. You've got, again, we have to open our mouths and declare, no, that's none of mine. But again, as children of God, if we are stay ignorant of this, and then, yeah, it's cold and flu season. Well, yeah, in the natural, yeah, you got it. And I guess I'm next too. Well, you know, I got to go stock up on my medicine, you know. When I first came to town, it kind of bothered me. There was one of the pharmacists here in town. Just kind of a strange thing. I saw him the first few times I saw him. It's like, I didn't even know him. It's like, what an evangelist. You know, he was out here. And again, I'm a young man. I'm pretty fit, you know, I think. And he's coming up to me. Don't know me from Adam. Where are you getting your drugs from? I'm like, what? Where am I getting my drugs from? What are you talking about? And he's like, well, I work down here at so-and-so, and where are you getting your drugs from? I was like, I don't need any drugs, thank you. You know? And he was just kind of really, really pushy and somewhat indignant about it when I was like, well, I don't need any drugs. Anyway, and so I saw him, a month or two later, and same thing. It's like he didn't, I guess, remember the conversation before. And same thing. I'm like, what a deal. You're out here pushing drugs on people. And it's like, what makes you think, that a man in his mid-40s is just automatically on drugs, as if. You know, but this is the mentality of the world. They think this way. And this man, in his mind, seemed to have every reasonable expectation that everybody's on drugs of some kind. And I just want to make sure you're getting them from me. I'm like, the idea, the idea, the audacity of the enemy, to just go around and pushing this on people. Now, I was thinking about this. What if I was not a child of God, but maybe I was healthy? But he sowed this seed. Where are you getting your drugs from? Everybody's on drugs, right? Everybody's taking pills for something or another. Where are you getting yours? Even that, there is such evil in that. And again, I forgive the man. He doesn't know what he's doing, right? But just the evil that sows, and that those are seeds that are being sown. Well, I wonder, where am I getting my drugs? I might need to be doing something. I might need to have me a medicine cabinet stocked up. Maybe I need to go, right? All of this invites thoughts of the enemy. These are not thoughts of God. These are not the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God are in the book. And his thought has one thought: by my stripes, Rodney, you're healed. Either you're going to agree with that or you're not. Amen? But if I will choose to believe God, if I'll hold fast to my confession on the word of God, guess what? I'm going to walk in healing. I'm going to live in healing. It's just a matter of time. Amen. If I'm trying to overcome something, hold fast to the word. The word will work. The word will work every single time. If there was ever a time, we would have found out about it in the life of Jesus. We would have found out about it in the book of Acts when you saw all these men of God, women of God, taking a word from God, standing on it, and seeing victory, 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 victory. Again, these are our examples to follow. The word is not passed away. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He ain't going to change. His word won't change. His power hasn't changed. His word is his power. So when I will take the word of God as by faith, I can receive all of the power of God that's needed to bring itself to pass. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I just think I done preached me happy this morning. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, we're still looking here, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom, again, there's one of them, in Christ, in him, in whom, scriptures. There's about 180 in the New Testament, but there's, I've found so far about 40-something that are highly significant. This is one of them. So again, in your Bible, if you highlight it, underline, circle, anytime you see this, in him, in whom, in Christ, by Christ, pay close attention to that, because that is specifically a word speaking to you. He's telling you right here who you are, what you have, what you can do now that you're in him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, he's saying, in whom or in Christ, we have redemption. Well, that's good news. We have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Praise God. So we're going to unpack this a little bit. And this first thing I want to look here is this word has qualified. He has qualified me to share in the inheritance. Well, that sounds pretty good. Well, whose inheritance are we talking about? Christ. Christ has an inheritance. The scripture tells us in Romans 8, we have been made joint heirs with Christ. Now, you just think about all that Christ has inherited. The name above every name, above the highest name in heaven, earth, under the earth. He said, not just in this age, but in the age that's come. He has that inheritance. and I've been made a joint heir. Selah. Think on that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. This word qualified is the word hikanoo. It means qualified. It means to enable, to make sufficient, or to make competent. Now, this word only appears twice in the New Testament. The other time that it appears is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. This is Paul writing in both cases. He says, and he, Christ, has qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Again, he has qualified. He's made me able. He's made me an able-bodied minister, right? God has equipped me as an apostle, he's saying, for the work of the ministry. Everything that's required in my ministry, every spiritual gift, everything that's needed, he has made me able. Hallelujah. He's saying now, when we look over here in Colossians 1, he has qualified, he's made you able, he's made you competent to be able to inherit as a joint heir all that Christ is, all that Christ has, all of the power of the name. Hallelujah. Again, Jesus delegated that authority. We saw it over in John 14. He says, now, whatever you go and ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. That's power of attorney. That's power of attorney. Whatever. Whatever the name can do, you can do with the name. Hallelujah. As though Jesus, as though heaven's bank account was personally present, as though the healer himself is personally present, and he is. Whatever it is, that's why he said, you go preach the good news, the Great Commission of Mark 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Preach Christ and him crucified and him resurrected. Preach that good news. And now what did he say? When you encounter the devil, go speak to him in my name and cast him out. Get out of here. Get in Jesus' name. And he says what? He'll go. He has to go. He can't stand. Jesus is personally present in his word. Satan cannot stand. Uh-huh. And now what else does it say? Go lay hands on the sick. Go lay hands on the sick, and what's going to happen? They will recover. There's no maybe. They will. It's just a matter of time. In the spirit, it's done now. Hold fast to it. It's going to work every time. Hold fast. It's going to work. And then he goes on to say in verse 20 of Mark 16, and they went out preaching the word, doing what he told them. And he says, the Lord was with them doing what? Confirming his word. Confirming his word. They weren't responsible for the miracles, the signs, the wonders. They're not responsible for people accepting the gospel. All they're responsible to do, all any of us are responsible to do, is just go and share it. He says, freely you have received, freely go share it. Go tell your neighbor about Jesus. Go tell them the good news about healing. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, go share it with them. And now go minister healing to them. Again, I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. I'm not responsible for performing anything. I am responsible to act on what he told me to do. And if I'll do it, he'll be there to back it. Only believe. Glory to God. Jesus said at Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. But again, we have been qualified to share in this inheritance. Glory to God. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, I notice in here the first part of verse 12 says, we give thanks. We give thanks. And again, this is reminding us, I'm giving thanks to God alone who's qualified me. There's no self-effort in this. It's all him. All him. How did you get saved? What part did you play in salvation? Well, Jesus did his part, and then I did my part, and, you know, we met in the middle somewhere, and I got saved. No, you didn't. You were an old dirty thing. You were a sinner going to hell. You were a hot mess. And Jesus did it all. He paid it all 100%. Only thing you did is believe that gospel that somebody preached to you at some point, and you said, yes, I'm a sinner. I need some salvation. I need some fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. right? I want to be saved. I want to be in the kingdom of God. And so you responded and you said, yes, Lord, I confess you as my Savior. Take my life, do something with it. And then a moment of time, you were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. So again, this is why we give thanks. I give thanks acknowledging the one who paid it all. I give thanks. Glory to God. This next word I want to look at is rescued. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. This word rescued is the word ruo-amahi. It means to be rescued. I like this, to snatch out for oneself, to be delivered from, for the purpose of the one or the deliverer. So this really carries with it the idea, I wasn't, yes, someone saved me, someone delivered me, and they didn't just save me or deliver me, they saved me out of this purpose, and they brought me over into a new purpose. Right? I was a sinner serving Satan. Say that three times fast. I was a sinner serving Satan. He was my God. But the blood of Christ, right? Saved me. And now I no longer live according to the kingdom of darkness. I now live according to the kingdom of his dear Son. I have a new Lord. I have a new God that I serve, and it is not the devil. It is not any part of his kingdom. I live in a whole new kingdom. I live in a whole new realm of government. Hallelujah to Jesus. And as a kingdom citizen, as a son of God, there's a whole new level of living. There's a whole new method of operation, and it is not according to this world standard. This is really what this word implies. This word, he says, we've been rescued from. This word from is the word ek. And again, it carries with it kind of the same thing. It means out from and to. I've been carried out from and to. Again, this word is a two-part meaning. It means from and rescued. Thinking about this, it could be defined as someone who is, you know, how I went to the Grand Canyon. Oh, I think I was about 19 years old. I was traveling with family, and we were at the Grand Canyon, and you can lean over the rail, and you can look way down there, right? So I was just, in my mind, I just kind of pictured this when I was studying this word. I was like, imagine if, you know, I'm standing next to somebody, and they're leaning over that rail, and all of a sudden, they're going over. Well, suppose I just reached out, and I just snatched them and brought them back, right? That, so in one sense, it was this idea, someone is falling, someone is lost. And then God reaches into the darkness and says, whoo, I got you. But I didn't just save you and place you right back where you were. No, I carried you with me into this kingdom purpose. This is really what this word, this understanding that Paul is trying to imply here. So again, I've not just been saved from darkness in the lake of fire. I have been transferred into the kingdom of heaven. This next word I want to look at here is he has rescued us from. So again, out from and to the dominion of darkness. This word dominion is the word exousia. This means authority, capacity. It means conferred power, a designated jurisdiction, rulership, physical and mental power to possess, power to act, or delegated authority. So thinking about this, this is actually this word is also used in Ephesians 6:12 when you're talking about the armor of God. He says we stand against the wiles of the devil, against the principalities, the powers, right, of wickedness in heavenly places. This is one of those. So again, there are delegated demonic powers who have realms of authority that they're operating in. Same thing for thinking about President Trump. President of the United States, he has a jurisdiction. It is the United States. And some other outlined areas as well. But again, with that role of president, you have certain areas of dominion, you have certain powers, you have certain authority. The same thing with the governor of the state of Nebraska. Think about a king or in some cases dictators. They have certain authority. certain dominion over this territory, over this government, over this place. I'm going to act, and this is what I can do. This is what this so out of this dominion, or out of this authority, this was also used in Genesis 1:26. God creates man. He puts him here in the garden. He says, now he gives him dominion over the earth and over everything in the earth, flying, creeping, you know, everything in the, he gives dominion over everything. So again, man had authority over this earth. We did not have authority over the sun, right? I don't have authority over the galaxy. We had authority here in the earth. That authority still remains. Now, Adam bowed the knee to Satan, and that authority became perverted. He handed over that authority to the devil. That's why the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. That's why the temptation was real. When he came and tempted Jesus with those three temptations, he says he took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. He said, if you'll bow down to me one time, I'll give it all to you. Well, he had it to give because Adam gave it to him. And he says, if you'll just worship me, this will all be yours. Well, thankfully, Jesus didn't go for it. Otherwise, you and I would be in big trouble today. But again, this is this idea of dominion. Praise God. So again, God has rescued us or delivered us out of the domain or the dominion or out of the authority of darkness. Darkness, the kingdom of Satan has no longer any authority in your life. That was broken. You were taken out of that realm of authority. You were taken out of that dead spiritual life, and you were translated into the kingdom of God, into his life, into his inheritance. So again, sickness and disease, I know this is the low-hanging fruit we tend to go to a lot. Sickness and disease has no authority to come and put itself on my life, on my body. It does not have the authority to do it unless what? I give it authority. See, you and I are the establishing covenant witnesses in the earth. In Christ Jesus, we have a covenant that is signed and sealed in the blood of Christ. And as long as we hold fast to our covenant rights, covenant possessions, and covenant privileges, we will partake of that. Out of ignorance, cold and flu, if I yield to this and I give that place, well, now I invite the devil to come in and put this on me. I took the authority that I possess in Christ, I laid it aside, and I exchanged it for the lie. I'm saved, I'm born again, but yet all these other areas, if I live in ignorance to them, I'm still living as an old man. I'm still living as flesh that is bound to Satan, even though I'm free. So again, always in my mind, I picture it at salvation, you know, I imagine this dark dungeon. So if you think about maybe an old movie or something you watch, and they have these old European castles, and they got those dungeons down below, and it's pretty hellish, right? In my mind, I picture this, you know, and there I am, or someone was, and we're in prison, you know, paper, we're strapped to the wall here, and here we are, you know, we're looking pretty ragged, you know, and then Jesus comes, he frees me, he opens the door. And says, son, you're free. And you're not just free from this. I'm not going to take you and put you up in the penthouse. This all belongs to you. And yet you remain in the cell out of ignorance, living far below what rightly belongs to you. Now, in a lot of areas, people may, where salvation is concerned, they leave that prison cell. Where finances are concerned, maybe they're in the doorway. Where sickness and disease is concerned, they're strapped to the wall. Even though they're 100% free in Christ Jesus from that moment. All of heaven belongs to them in a moment of time. All of the joint heir, all of this inheritance is theirs in a moment of time at the new birth. But if and until they renew their mind and say, yes, I see what is mine. I see what belongs to me. I'll take that. Give me my penthouse. Yes, I'll take this meal. Yes, I'll take these clothes. Yes, I'll put on what you have for me. The Paul tells the Ephesians, put on Christ. Take him. He says, put off this old man. Stop living as mere men. Ephesians 4, You can look at 17 through 23. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake. He says, you've been living as mere men. Again, he's talking to believers. He says, you forgot what manner of man you were. You went back to living carnally. You went back in ignorance, not realizing who you are, what you have. He says, no, no, no. It's time to put on the new man according to Christ and start coming up and living in what really belongs to you. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to leave anything on the table. If it's mine in Christ, I want it now. That's the whole idea. I'm not waiting to get to heaven so I can have some heaven. No, I'm to live in days of heaven on the earth right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just as much a son of God today as I will be in eternity. And the truth is, you and I are in eternity right now. Your spirit man is eternal. He's not going anywhere. This body, amen, should the Lord tarry in his coming, which he ain't got too long, you know, just signs of the times, but should he? You know, when this body dies, you won't know it. You'll just step right over. You'll just blink. You'll be here, and the next thing, you'll be there. You've done all the dying you're ever going to do. Your spirit, man, you're more alive than you will ever be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've just not yet fully awakened unto that, but we're on our way. That's why we're here this morning. We're renewing our minds. I'm coming to see who I am, what I have, what I can do now that I'm in Christ. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been delivered out of darkness. This word darkness is the word skotos. It means darkness, literally and figuratively. It means obscurity, shadiness. You know, we heard it in times past. That's a shady character. That's what he's talking about. Shadiness, source of deception. Darkness is the source of deception. Again, that's what all the enemy has. He doesn't actually have real power. The back of the book tells us at the end of time, we're all going to look on him and say, is that him? That little imp? That's the one who deceived. If he had real power, that he would be exercising real power, he would take you and I out. That's a believer. That's a Christian. I'm going to kill you. He can't do it. He can't do it. What can he do? Try to deceive you so that you'll kill yourself. That's exactly how he operates. He operates by thoughts, ideas, words, feelings. He'll use other people. He'll use circumstances to try to influence so he can get in your mouth. If I can get it coming out of your mouth, now we've got something to work with. This is a spiritual law. Blessing and life, death and curse, out of your mouth, out of your mouth. God goes on to say in Isaiah 57:19, he says, I create the fruit of the lips. Speak the blessing. Speak life. Speak what I put in the book. Speak who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. I'll create the fruit of it. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed from darkness. I've been redeemed from sin and all of its effects. I've been redeemed from sin and all of its effects. There's a lot of things that can not, you know, we talk about healing. There's a lot that we can experience, not just with our natural outward bodies, but in our soul. There's a lot that goes on in the soul. And if we don't deal with what's going on in the soul, it will affect your physical body. You know, I haven't looked lately, but I know, and it probably still is, that stress was the number one killer. Stress. And it leads to all types of other things that manifest death in your life. But the root of it is stress, which really the root of stress is what? Fear. Of some shape or form, it's fear. And it's killing folks. The devil knows that. He knows exactly. He knows how this works. He knows exactly. He's been at this for thousands of years. He knows how to take you out. God knows how to rescue you. He knows how to save you. And he provided all of it in Christ, and he put it in the book for us. Hallelujah. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, and he has, he says, he will lead you and he'll guide you into all truth. Stay hooked up with the book. Stay hooked up listening to the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. Amen. He's going to lead you and guide you into victory every single time. That's what he's here for. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he gave us fivefold ministers. This is the purpose of the pastor, primarily. This is the purpose of the prophet and the teacher and the evangelist. It's to come and help equip the saints. Stand victoriously in life. Discover their calling and their purpose, that they might walk it out in victory. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Redemption. This word redemption is the word apolutrosis. It means redemption. It means to be redeemed, a release effected by payment of ransom. It means to buy back, and it means deliverance. Apolutrosis is a compound word of apo, which means to put far away, out of reach. And it also comes from this word lutron, which means ransom prize. So again, to put far away, out of reach, and it means ransom prize. So again, apo, thinking about this, it means to put something far away from you so that it is not easily accessible or out of reach, so that it cannot be brought back again. This is used to, in this terminology would have been used. Imagine a worker in the field who's been working and sweating all day, covered in dirt, covered in sweat. You know, you need a shower. You need a bath. So what do? They come home and they apo. They take off these dirty clothes. They put them far away, maybe put them outside, put them in the other room. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I'm going to go in here, take a bath, and I'm going to put on some clean clothes. I have apoed, I have put far from me these old dirty things. Again, the kingdom of darkness I have been brought out of. Apo, it's far away. It's far away. It's out of reach. It's out of sight. It's out of smell. Mm-hmm. Right? Hallelujah. Lutron means ransom or atonement. It's the ransom money or price to free a slave. Again, slaves, indentured servants, this was common during this time. It's the ransom price. Again, this term would have been described as a slave or an indentured servant, servant who had a benefactor who paid the ransom price for them and then set them free. So I'm coming. It costs so much money to buy you back. I'm going to pay that price. And now you don't just belong to me. I'm going to set you free. Amen. I'm set free. Glory to God. Spiritually, we were dead in Satan's domain. Jesus' blood was that ransom price, and he paid all the debt I owed by paying all of his blood. So again, right now, through the blood of Christ, we have been transferred far out of the devil's reach. Let's all say this together. There's not one thing in me, on me, that the blood of Jesus has not cleansed and set me free from. Praise God. The blood of Jesus has completely broken off every part of darkness, all of its authority, all of its dominion, all of its effects. The blood of Jesus has completely covered me, washed me, cleansed me, and set me free. Amen. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How can you say that? Because I know what the blood has done. I know that the blood is on the mercy seat in the highest court of the universe, eternally speaking of my righteousness. And now here's the truth. Hold fast. The only way I can be unrighteous is for Jesus to somehow become unrighteous. It's his blood. I am a partaker of the same Spirit. The only way this spirit can be unrighteous is for the head of the body to be unrighteous. He's not going to be unrighteous. He is not unrighteous. God has already judged him as righteous. He's already judged the blood as righteous. And I'm in him. And I'm covered in the same blood. I'm righteous. That's how I know I'm righteous. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, you're going to make mistakes in your flesh. Yes, you're going to fall short, but rise up in the name of Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. That's not me. That's not who I am. Yes, I missed it, and I repent of that, but I know I'm the righteousness of God. Paul writes to the church in 1 Corinthians 15:34. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. If you will just awaken, become conscious of the fact I've been made righteous. He says, you're going to go where you focus. It will cause you not to sin. It will cause you to live a holy life. I'm the righteousness of God. 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 I'm not going to allow the devil to come and accuse me day and night, and tell me I'm still a part of his kingdom. That, you old dirty thing, I know what you did. I'm the righteousness of God. Get behind me, Satan. The word tells us in Hebrews chapter 8, God says, he says, their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. He says, I'm going to put it far from me as the east is from the west. I'm putting it out of my sight. I'm putting it out of my memory. I choose to look at you through the blood. Ha, ha, ha. That's your daddy. What good parent wants to remember and recall and recall and recall and recall for eternity the sins of their son? Furthermore, no one righteousness can stand in the presence of God. None. And yet when you miss the mark, and it's not if, you're going to miss the mark. He says in Hebrews 4:16, what do? Come boldly. Come boldly, not ashamedly, not groveling. We are coming running boldly to where the throne of grace. He sits on the throne of grace. He says, why? That you may receive mercy for your failures and find grace to help you to overcome that situation. I know how to overcome it. Just come to me. I'll give you the grace. I'll help you to walk in victory over that. That's what I'm here for. That's what the blood is here for. That's what my life is here for. That's what Holy Spirit is here for. I have all of it. I make you able. I make you competent. I qualified you to stand in my presence. So come. I've qualified you to live free. I've qualified you to live holy. All of it. Glory to God, come to me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. We're going to wrap up this section and we'll just pick up, Lord willing, next time. You cannot walk in what you do not know that you have. Again, faith begins where the will of God is known. I can't walk in a place. I can't walk in divine healing if I don't know divine healing is mine. Well, I know God can heal. I just hope I can get him to do it for me today. That's not faith. And people wonder, well, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I fasted and I did this and I did that, you know, and sometimes you just never know what God's going to do. That's how people come with that theology. They made excuses due to a lack of ignorance. Good people, they mean well, but they're ignorant. God says in Hosea 4:6, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They don't understand what they don't understand I'm good. They don't understand my character. They don't understand the blood. They don't understand the life. And because of this, they're being destroyed. It's not my will. It's not what I provided. It's not what I put in the book. And yet, it's happening. It's happening to this day, but not, huh? No. There's a reason we call that the Lord gave us this name. This is Victory Life Family Church. We are a family. We are a body of believers, but we're here to learn how to live in victory. Every part of our life is to resemble the life of Christ. Every part of it. Amen. I'm on my way. I have not arrived, but I'm on my way. And I'm believing for more. And I'm believing that for each one of us, that we're all going to learn and receive the victory, spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, in every realm, and that we're coming up. We're coming up into the full stature as a mature believer in Christ. Glory to God. Faith begins with revelation, seeing what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. You understand, everything that he did it for you. He didn't need to do any of it for himself. He was doing just fine where he was. But he stripped himself of all of this. He became a man. He went through all of the shame, all of the scourging, all of these things. He did it for you. And Hebrews 12:2 says he did it with joy. He says he endured the cross with joy. The cross? Joy? He wasn't looking at himself. He was looking at, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was accomplishing, and he saw you. He saw you on that cross. And he says, oh yeah, this is why I'm doing it. This is why I'm here. He goes on to tell us in Hebrews 10, Jesus is speaking to the Father. He's saying, this body you have prepared for me. This body you have prepared for me that I might lay it down as their substitute. All of their sin, all their lawlessness, all their sickness, all their disease, all of the poverty, laid it all on this body, right? He became unrighteous. He became sin. He became sickness. And he became all of it on the cross. And then he dies. Praise God. He pays the sin price in hell. And then he's gloriously resurrected. And in the spirit, you and I are gloriously resurrected with him unto that same victory life. Praise be to God. Well, Pastor Paula, would you come on up, please? We're going to receive communion here today. I believe everyone in the room should have received your communion elements when you came in. If not, just raise your hand. We'll get some to you. They're online watching. I would encourage you to go get your communion elements, get you some bread, get you some juice, whatever you have, and receive this right along with us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Say that.
You can hold that speaker. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read this passage to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26 says, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Amen. So we take the bread right now and we hold it up to him. And it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as we're getting ready to receive the body, I want to just remind us, what did the body of Christ broken for us accomplish? The body and the blood, these are symbolic. He says, as often as you do this in remembrance. Do it in remembrance. Remember the blood. Remember the blood what was shed. What was accomplished in the blood? What was accomplished in the body? Okay. Jesus. They took him and they scourged him. They scourged him. They took, and we went through this, and I don't want to get too deep in. They took this whip called the cat of nine tails, and it had all these hooks and barbs at the end of this whip, and they just beat him. He's naked, he's tied, and they beat him. And every time that whip hits him, they're ripping off chunks of flesh every time. And the Roman soldiers who did this, they made a sport of it. They shamed him. They mocked him. They took a crown of thorns and they literally hammered it onto his head. He's got blood flowing from his head. You know, by the time they finished, he was hardly recognizable. I mean, you talk covered in blood head to toe. His flesh laid open. The scripture tells us this. Why did he do it? Why? So that you might be healed from the inside out. So again, this scourging part, it would literally lay you open. So even some of your organs would be exposed. They literally have ripped the skin off. You could literally see organs. This goes back to the Passover lamb. When they sacrificed the lamb, they examined it externally to make sure it was without spot or blemish, but they also, when they killed it, they would examine it internally to make sure the same thing, that it's not something funny going on inside. They're able to see and examine it. Jesus was laid bare. He was laid open inside and out. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, surely He has borne our griefs. This word griefs is sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. This isn't just physical sickness. This can represent sickness, spirit, soul, body. And he carried our sorrows, our pains of punishment. It says, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as with leprosy, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my guilt and my iniquities, my sins. The chastisement needful to obtain peace. Do you need peace in your life? Do you need peace in your heart, peace in your mind? Peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. I'm not just healed from something. I'm completely restored. I wasn't just saved out of darkness and healed, but I still carry with it the scars and the guilt and the shame and this and that. No, I have been completely removed. As far as the east is from the west, all remembrance of that shame, all remembrance of guilt and sin, and it's gone. In the mind of God, it does not exist. Throughout eternity, it does not exist. Satan, the god of this world, he may try to recall things back to your mind. That's not you. That's not you. God the Father does not remember it. By faith, I receive today, as I receive communion, no more. No more. I'm going free. I don't care what it was. I don't care if murder, abortion, whatever it is. The blood of Jesus, the body that was broken and shed for you, there's power in it to set you free, completely free, as though it never happened in your life.
Hallelujah.
That's the goodness of God. That's your daddy. That's your father. Amen. So I want us to just take a moment. Judge yourself. The scripture says that we're to judge ourselves. Now, people a lot of times read that and they're quick to judge, well, I missed it here and I missed it there. Okay, that's fine. You know, we need to repent, you know, and confess and get sin out of our life. Again, not so that I can be made righteous, it's so that I can live free from it, right? But now, if there's sickness and disease, judge it. This is not the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of darkness trying to hold me in bondage to sickness and disease. If there's something going on in your soul, whatever it is, this is not mine. Jesus paid it all. And right now, I judge this as being from the devil. I get it out of my life. And right now, as I receive this, I'm receiving my victory today. This is what he means. When he says put in remembrance, this is exactly what he means. Don't just receive it flippantly. He says as often as you do it, you can receive communion every day. You can receive it three times a day. It doesn't matter. Right? He says, just put me in remembrance every time you do it. And whenever you have something going on in your life, in your body, run to the communion table. Go get your elements at the house. Sit down. Get your Bible. Get someone to, you know, join with you if you want to. Amen. And we're going to receive victory over this today. So right now, just whatever that is, hold that to the Lord. And receive no sickness, no disease, no lack. Receive your peace. Receive your healing. Receive your wholeness by faith. And Lord, we take this body right now. And as we take it, we receive victory in every area. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In like manner, he takes the cup. He says, this is the new covenant. In my blood. Again, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So again, what has the blood accomplished? I was unworthy. I was unrighteous. But the word tells us by the blood of the Lamb, I have access to the throne of God. By the blood of the Lamb, I can run boldly without a sense of guilt, shame, inferiority of any kind. You are inferior to no one, no one, and no thing in Christ by the blood. Amen. So right now, whatever has been going on, whatever may have been harassing you, cast that imagination down in the name of Jesus and receive by the blood of the Lamb, I'm washed clean. By the blood of the Lamb, I'm free. By the blood of the Lamb, I have victory. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Lord. Receive the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
If you all want to stand as we're closing this morning, praise God. And that's so true. There's nothing that the blood has not already accomplished.
Amen.
And we are moving forward in the plan of God that he has for us and everything that he's accomplished. You know, Philippians 3:13 says, he says, don't look behind, but press forward into Christ. Amen. We're pressing forward into what he has for us. We forget what lies behind.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Forgetting what lies behind. Pressing Amen. Forward to what lies ahead.
Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well,
yeah.
We all just want to close out with this. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So let's all pray this together. Here in the room, there online, you have to open your mouth and give voice to the word. Amen. So let's all pray this. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
That Jesus is your son.
That you sent him. To pay the price.
For my sin.
Jesus.
I confess you now.
As my Lord. And my Savior. Come into my heart. Take my life. Have your way with it. From this day forward. I live. To the praise. Of the glory of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, we believe according to the scripture that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You're in the kingdom of God, and we welcome you as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
But we'll meet you here next Sunday, 10 o'clock. Until then, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him,
we are living in victory.